Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're in this series called Running with the Giants. How many of you guys are enjoying it so far? I love it. I love studying the heroes of the faith. And let's just start, dive right into Hebrews chapter 12. It's our theme verse. We're basing our series off of it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." I remember I ran cross-country race once, and my twin brother Pat was injured. His back was hurting, and so the JV race didn't run the varsity same course. And so he was in the outhouse when the gun went off. And we're like, where's my brother Pat? I mean, he was the fifth fastest two-miler in America. If he's running the JV race, he's probably going to be winning it, okay? And so the gun goes off, Pat's not there, and all of a sudden I look over, and my brother runs out of the outhouse with it, and he takes the time to sit down, take his pants off. I mean, he has his shorts on. Put his running shoes on, go to the starting line and take off, and he still sets the JV record for the day. But he took off the sweatpants. He could have ran the race with the sweatpants, but why wouldn't you take off those things that hinder you? Why wouldn't you take off the warm-ups and get ready for the... And so we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, so let's do our part to get ready for the race. And then it says this, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Here's the big picture. The goal of this series is to listen to the voices of those who've already finished the race. And see, here's what I believe. Those who've already done it are going to see it from a better perspective than those who are in it. Say it again. Those who've done it are going to see life from a better perspective than those who are in it. How many of you guys have ever gone through life, you're going through life going, I just don't see how we're going to get out of this thing. Or it's difficult, or there's challenges. And so we're going to pull someone off the stands today. We're going to pull Abraham off the stands and ask him some questions. Hey, Abraham, what would you teach us? What would you tell us? And Abraham, you can't talk about Abraham without talking about what? Faith. He's a father of faith. And if we wanted, we could stand up and sing Father Abraham had many sons. How many of you guys want to do that for calisthenics today? When we start our 8:30 gathering, we'll start off with Father Abraham, okay? But his faith was counted or reckoned unto him as righteousness. And so today I want to make it real simple. I'm going to talk about faith. And faith is the ability to trust. But faith is ability to trust, and we need to trust even when God doesn't make any sense. How many of you guys know that sometimes you have to trust when it doesn't make any sense? How many of you guys had parents who said, you need to go to school? Trust me, it's going to be good for you. And how many of you guys didn't believe it at the time? How many of you guys have teenagers in the house, and you have their kids? You need, this math is important. No, it's not. I'll never use it again. You trust, because we've went through it. We understand. And so if Abraham was here, Abraham would tell us, for when you don't understand God's way, God always does the right thing. Now, maybe there's some of you in here today who are struggling to try to make sense of life. I was in Pueblo, Colorado on Wednesday night and did some leadership development down there at a church, and I preached that night, and the pastor says, "Mark, it was such a blessing to have you here, because tomorrow morning I'm burying a mom of four, and she was 35 years age when she died." And he says, "It doesn't make sense, and there's a whole lot of people walking into that." How many of you guys want to know there'd be people walking into that service, that funeral, that would be questioning, like, God doesn't make sense right now. How many of you guys have ever navigated a life when God doesn't always make sense? Who in here has God all figured out? How many of you guys feel like right now trying to make sense of God is like a sumo wrestler being hugged by a three-year-old? You can't quite get your arm around the leg even, if much, that's the girth, right? And so we're going to look at three different stories today from Abraham. And I hope these three stories encourage us. Abraham was the father of faith. And Abraham, I think, again, would say to us today, is that, hey, listen, when you don't understand God, God still does the right thing. So here's a couple truths. The first, in fact, let's look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, and I want to launch into this, but after this, and Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 is not on there, but let me read it as an introduction. After this, the word of God, the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. And so he starts out with a vision. How many of you guys want to know sometimes you need a vision? Sometimes, you know, trusting God is hard, and sometimes God has to really speak to you. So here's Abraham, and God shows up in a vision and said, hey, don't be afraid, and begins to talk about the very great reward you have. And then verse 2, it says this, but Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? The one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Now let's pause. This is Genesis chapter 15. Two chapters earlier, years earlier in his life, God speaks to him and says, I will make your name great, and I will make your family great, and you'll be numerous like the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore, and you'll have children. And years go by, and God comes back and says, don't be afraid. And Abraham goes, well, I'm a little bit afraid because I'm still childless. My wife hasn't had kids. We can't have kids. And my whole estate's going to be given to my to an heir of mine. Not even someone who's my heir, to Eliezer of Damascus. I have no children in my household. And then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. What does God promise? God promises him what? A son. You ever had God promise you something? I want to pause here for a moment. See, God has a dilemma. And it's the same dilemma he had with Abraham, he has with us. That sometimes God can tell us stuff and God can speak to us, but we can't always see it. How many of you guys have a seeing problem sometimes? You just can't quite see what God is saying. Like, you mean it's actually going to be better if I do this, God? Or God promises you something. You go, I don't see it. And so it says this. It says he took him outside and said, look at the heavens. And what? Count the what? The stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. In other words, he is saying, Abraham, your wife is going to be fertile myrtle here in a few ways. In other words, Abraham, you don't see it right now. I am telling you you're going to have an heir. Let's go outside. I want you to see what I'm telling you. I am telling you right now that your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky. Now, here's the challenge. Sometimes faith for us is hard to trust him. When we can't trace him, we don't feel him, we don't see him. When it doesn't add up in our minds, it doesn't look like it's going to work on the spreadsheet. We look at our bank account and the bills. We look at where our kids are going and what we want them to be going. We look at life, we go, God. God says, look up to the heavens. Now, Abraham has finished the race. We're now surrounded by him. We pull him off the stands. And today, if he was to speak to us, he would say, God always does the right thing, number one, even if it takes a long time. Have you ever felt like God was taking too long? Have you ever felt like an anorexic throwing a shot put when it comes to prayer? And you prayed, and God gave you a promise, and you've been holding on, and years have gone by, and so you're not the only one that feels like that. Lazarus had passed away. Mary Martha sent word to Jesus that he was passing, and Jesus waited a couple days till he came, and when he got there, Lazarus' sister said, Jesus, you waited too long. He's already dead. In fact, he'd already been buried, and they said, surely he stinketh by now. I mean, there's dead and there's dead. Sometimes It seems like God takes a long time. And Abraham would say, God, I don't know what you're walking through, but I can tell you right now, there was a time in my life where God made promises, and I can tell you right now, you need to understand God's doing the right thing, even if it feels like it takes too long, because let me tell you right now what my story. And he began to unpack in chapter 16 of Genesis, where it says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne no children. I think it would be the same as him kind of saying, hey, you guys, me, and I hadn't had a kid yet, so my wife said, well, why don't we find my maidservant, and why don't we have my maidservant sleep with you, and maybe that's God's plan for the heir of our family. And so Abraham says, listen, God's going to do the right thing, even if it takes too long, and don't try to do it your way, because then you'll have a whole lot of problems in the Middle East someday. Okay, my plan, God's plan, we didn't understand till later. What was Isaac? It wasn't Ishmael. But now, look at the world, and I apologize to you that I took it into my hands to try to figure God's plan out. How many of you guys want to know when it takes too long, what do we do in America? We try to figure it out ourselves. There's got to be a different way to do it. How many of you have seen people mess their lives up because they tried to figure it out on their own and bypassed God's plan for their life? And Abraham would say, it might take longer, but let's just read it. It says, Egyptian, we'll take the maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children, so go sleep with her. Perhaps God doesn't know what he's talking about. Perhaps there's a better way. Perhaps it's taken too long. Perhaps, maybe my case is different. Perhaps. Plan Bs are dangerous. See, our timing and God's timing are rarely the same. Our timing and God's timing are rarely the same. I love what the author Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient. Let's talk about that for a second. God's not slow as some of us would interpret him as slow. God's patient, which means we're impatient. Impatience isn't God's problem. Impatience is our problem. And impatience is a lack of trust. It's a lack of faith that God really is going to do what God said he's going to do. It's trust. It's faith. Hey, God said we're going to have a son. What that tells me is Abraham still didn't put the illustrated message God gave to him through a vision. Go look at the stars. I'm telling you, if you trust me and you have faith, you're an heir from your own body will start this dramatic increase of descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, which is a Hebrew metaphor for the uncountable number. So when God seems doesn't make sense, he is, even if he takes too long, don't interpret his slowness as no-ness. Interpret his slowness as he's patient, more patient than us. And maybe God is trying to do something in us through what's happening to us. The goal of life is not for us always to be happy. How many of you know that? God's goal for us is to be holy, not happy. Now, I'm convinced that the more holy we are, probably the more fulfilled we would be. Happiness isn't even on God's radar of what he wants us to be. He wants us to be holy and fulfilled in our calling, our destiny. But that happens as we become more like him. And sometimes in the waiting, God is doing something in us. Don't bypass the waiting season to try to do your own thing. Trust him. God always does the right thing, Abraham would say, even if it seems absurd. Here's Abraham. Abraham is 99 years old. It would be like Jesus showing up at Raven's Landing and telling everyone there, your most fertile days are ahead. Get ready. And some of those men will be going, yeah, I'm ready. No. Sarah was 89 years old. Here's what it says. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. He's still waiting. Years have gone by. And your wife Sarah will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. How many of you guys want to know God sometimes will do the absurd things? You have faith even if it seems absurd. How many know that God can do the impossible? How many of you believe that? And it goes on. So Sarah laughed. You ever laughed at God? She laughed to herself as she thought, I am worn out, and my master's old. Trust me, I might be able to, but he can't. Will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything, say anything, too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. That's the question. Is there anything too hard for me? See, when it seems absurd, you have to realize that there's nothing too hard for God. Right. If God speaks to you, you do it. God will do the miraculous when sometimes you have to look ridiculous. God will come through. I love what it says in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 21. I'm not sure if it's on the screen or in your notes, but it says that, and Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. In other words, my wife's womb is dead. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. God's able. See, God does what's right, even if it takes too long. God does what's right, even if it seems absurd. And thirdly, God does what's right, even if it doesn't seem right. Now, let me unpack this. There's a story in the Old Testament of Abraham. Abraham, at one point, his possessions became too large, and his descendants became too large, that he came to the top of a hill, and he said to his nephew, Lot, Lot, look at the land. Anything you can see, you can have. Tell me what you want. You want the well-watered plains of Shinar? Do you want the hill country? What do you want? And Lot chose the land in the valley by Sodom, and it pitched his tents near Sodom, and there he lived. And it says this, then Abraham approached, and God made a decision to destroy Sodom. He goes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want to talk to you about this. I'm going to destroy Sodom, the place your nephew is. I'm going to destroy it. And how many know, the Bible says Abraham didn't agree with God. How many of you guys have ever disagreed with God? You're not going to get in trouble if you raise your hand. Okay, I've disagreed with God before. I've thought God was like, what's wrong with you, God? Genesis chapter 18, it says, then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? And he says, God, if I can find 50 righteous people in Sodom, will you still destroy it? He goes, if you can find 50, I won't destroy it. He says, well, if I find 45, will you destroy it? Well, yeah, if you find 45, I won't destroy it. If I find 40, he whittles it down to the number of people in Lot's family. And then he makes this statement. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Who's God? He's the judge of all the earth. And what does the judge of all the earth do? He does what's right. Not what doesn't make sense. Questioning God is not wrong if you come to the right conclusions. The judge of all the world will do what's right. See, even Jesus questioned God. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's not questioning God that's wrong. It's God in the time of questioning. I got to come back to the right conclusions. I got to filter it through your word. See, there'll be times when you question the justice and the righteousness and God, I don't feel like you're being fair here. You ever felt like, how many of you guys want to know God's goal is not to make things fair? How many of you guys discipline your kids based upon what's fair? How many discipline your kids based upon what's right? And there's times when you're navigating your faith that sometimes it doesn't seem fair, but have you know the Almighty Judge of heaven is always right. And we look for what's right, not what's fair, not what's easy. Sometimes it's hard. See, if you're having a hard time with faith and you're thinking things aren't fair, you have to separate things. Faith understands that the judge of all the earth does what's right, not always what's fair. But here's the thing. If you've got to understand all that God does, then guess what? God is going to be shrunk to the size of your brain. And I don't want a God the size of my brain. I want a God that sometimes will do things my brain can't comprehend. His ways are not my ways. His ways are higher than my ways. In Proverbs, it says there's a path before each person that seems right to them, but in the end, it leads to death. Sometimes what seems right to us leads to death and not to life. We don't need to trust God and agree on everything. We only need to trust God. God, I trust that you're going to do things the right way because you're God. I trust you. And trust is hard for some of us because some of us have been hurt a lot when we've opened our life up and trusted. Some of you have been wounded deeply because you trusted. Trust can be hard when you've been burned and hurt. But here's what I love about God. His motives are pure. He's holy. He's righteous. And because he's holy, you have to trust his holiness is going to do the right thing. God does the right thing, number four, even when we don't understand. You know, Hebrews chapter 11 unpacks the story we find in Genesis as well, but Abraham, sure enough, within a year of his wife laughing that you know, she's going to have a child, and her husband, he's old, and her womb is dead. The miracle of all miracles happens, and she conceives and gives birth to a son. And now the son is several years old, and God says I love what it says in Hebrews, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, say tested him. God's going to test you sometimes. Now let me ask you, does God know how you respond to the test? Yes. Testings are not for God's sake. Testing is for our sake. God knows how we'll respond, but sometimes he wants to see if we can actually learn to trust him enough to respond and pass the test, to develop some spiritual muscles. By faith, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice, even though God had said to him, it's through your Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead. You know, the Bible, he questioned God on, God, how come you haven't given me a son? And he goes to plan B and Ishmael's born and all of this. But when God says, take your son and sacrifice him on top of Mount Moriah, what does Abraham do? The Bible says he gets up early in the morning, packs everything on his donkeys and he gets his servants, he puts his son on there. They go to the top of Mount Moriah to sacrifice. And he never says, God, wait a second here. You said that my descendants would be numerous as the stars and it would be for my heir. And you're gonna. He had developed a trust of God. If God did it last time, why wouldn't God do it again? Good. Trust. Friends, we're in this faith journey. We're in this journey of trying to develop some spiritual traction and learn how to trust him when you can't trace him and watch him fill the lines in until we get to a place where we've more stronger in our faith to where if God says, sacrifice your son, you go, okay. Aren't you glad social media wasn't around back then? There'd have been picketers up there on top of the mountain like, what are you doing? God tested Abraham. The interesting thing is that through Abraham's life, at this point, he quit questioning. He quit questioning. Psalms chapter 9, verse 10 says this. I love this verse. David wrote it. Those who know the Lord, trust him. Do you want to trust him? You got to know him. The more you know him, the deeper you know him, the more you trust him. And how do you know him? You know him through his word. You know him through walking through obedience. You know him because you obey, you walk. See, those who know him, trust him. And that's the challenge for us. We have to give up the quest of understanding everything and make the goal not understanding everything, but knowing him. If we know him, then we don't have to understand everything, but we know God. And we know that's why Abraham, at this point, it says, Abraham reasoned. I know my God. He said, my son. So would be as numerous as the sand of the seashore and the stars of the sky. And if my God asks me to do this, he must be able to raise my son from the dead. Because my God can do any. He raised my wife's womb from the dead. He allowed me to have a son. My God. In other words, I trust him because I've walked with him and I know his ways. Friends, that's why the goal of True North is not just to grow and see people come to know Jesus. It's so that people deeply begin to have a walk with God through his word. And you know him. And you go through trials. And you see him be faithful and remain there through the trials. Through the thick of things. So that you can trust him on the other end. And Abraham would say, guys, even when you don't understand, you still know he's going to do the right thing. I want to encourage some of you today that maybe it's tough to get your chin off your chest, and it's a difficult season in your faith right now, and maybe you got a bad report from the doctor, or maybe you see your marriage crumbling before you, or maybe you see culture and society and cross-reference it with Fox and CNN and go, I don't know what and who to believe anymore. I understand, God, that you do the right thing even if I don't understand it. And the final things that he would drop into our hearts. Final words of encouragement would be number one, don't make earth your home. Don't make earth your home. Don't get so rooted, so satisfied, so fulfilled in your career and your life that you make home, this place on planet Earth, this dimple on the golf ball of life called Fairbanks, or North Pole. Don't make that your home. We don't live just for now. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, it says, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in his tents. In other words, he lived in a portable house because he knew that wasn't his real home. In other words, do we put way too much emphasis on things that are not eternal, they're temporal? As did Isaac and Jacob, who were his heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. What is he saying? He's saying, don't make earth your home. Be looking forward to heaven. Anyone here looking forward to heaven? Anyone? Sometimes it's so hard to look forward to heaven because we're so consumed with earth. And yeah, we got to make a living, and we got to pay the bills, and we got to raise our kids, and we got to work. We got to do those things. But friends, let's remember that we're living in a tent, but God's been working on a mansion for 2,000 plus years in heaven for us. There's a day. Faith's goal is that earth isn't our home; heaven is. And secondly, similar, live with an eternal perspective. God, it's not what happens to me. It's what happens in me. God, you're going to allow difficult things to happen to me so that I can grow and become all that you called me to become. Recently, I've been praying for some of the young moms in our church who've had miscarriages, and I weep because I go, God, doesn't make sense why some can and some can. And I think of a couple teenagers in our church right now that are going through cancer treatment. I'm going, God, I don't understand it. But God, I got to have an eternal perspective. All I have is my little window at 2830 Airport Way, 2730 Ruby Street. But God, your perspective's different than mine. Faith says, God, I trust you. It doesn't make sense. You might ask us to do some absurd things. 8:30 in the morning, Pastor, for service? That seems absurd. You crazy? No. Yes. We live with an eternal perspective. And as we close, part of that eternal perspective is this. There are people in our city who, if they die without knowing Jesus, will spend eternity separated from God. And that's why we had our fifth gathering, because we're convinced people need to know Jesus. Amen. We're convinced there's an expiration date on the milk carton of all of our lives. But if you're walking through a hard time today, I want to encourage you. Understand that heaven's not our eternal resting place, and you can look forward to something where there is no pain, where there is no tears, where there's eternal hope. Amen. Amen. I want to pray over you as the ushers come. Lord, I thank you for this day. And I thank you for those that are in this auditorium today. God, I pray for those that are walking through difficult seasons, that they would gain an eternal perspective like Abraham, who's on the other side. And he goes, guys, it might seem absurd. It might seem like God's late. It might seem, you might not understand. It might not seem right. Gaining a perspective from heaven that God sees things differently than you. Meet people's needs today in Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.